Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Thursday, June 11th, 2009. We're Stephen and Brooksine Weber. Our ministry is Daily Encouragement Net, and today we want to share a message that we hope will encourage and challenge you, titled, A New Heart. The scripture text is Ezekiel 36, verse 26.
Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh.
Mary Bell Dombaugh, a resident of Longwood Manor, where we serve as chaplains, loaned us a historic book given to her grandmother by her great uncle, Ira D. Sankey, who was a music composer and the song leader for evangelist D.L. Moody in the 1800s. The book is titled The Autobiography of Dwight L. Moody and was compiled by his son in 1900, 1 year after his father's death. It is a remarkable retelling of his many evangelistic crusades where hundreds of thousands came to know Christ in the U.S., England, and elsewhere.
Moody, uneducated in the conventional way that ministers were trained in his day, was mightily used of God, one-on-one and in great evangelistic meetings. And yet, what touches me often in the reading of this book is he was a very humble man. The stories are tremendously inspirational and an example to those of us who want to be used of God. In our message today, we're going to cite two illustrations from the book, and this is the first one. On his way home from meeting one night, Mr. Moody saw a man leaning against a lamppost. Stepping up to him and placing his hands on his shoulders, he said, "Are you a Christian?" The man flew into a rage, doubled up his fists, and it seemed for a moment as if the missionary might be pitched into the gutter. "I'm very sorry if I have offended you," said Mr. Moody. "Mind your own business," roared the man. "That is my business," the other replied quietly and went on his way. About 3 months later, on a bitter, cold morning at daybreak, there was a knock at Mr. Moody's door. "Who's there?" he asked. A strange voice answered, and he said, "What do you want?" "I want to become a Christian," was the reply. Mr. Moody opened the door, and to his astonishment, there was the man who had cursed him for talking to him as he leaned against the lamppost. "I'm very sorry," said the man. "I haven't had any peace since that night. Your words have haunted and troubled me. I couldn't sleep last night, and I thought I would come and get you to pray for me." Well, that man accepted Christ, and the moment he had done so, he asked, "What can I do for him?" Well, he eventually taught in the Sunday school until the war broke out, when he enlisted and was one of the first to be shot down, but not before he had given his testimony for God.
Well, the troubled man that Moody reached out to needed a new heart. When he stopped resisting, he found the peace and joy that comes from allowing God to change his heart. God promised the ancient Israelites through the prophet Ezekiel that, quote, "I will give you a new heart," end quote. That was about 2,500 years ago and remains God's work to this day. The heart of stone represents a cold, hard heart, unreceptive to spiritual truth. That sure describes so much of what we see and encounter today.
John Wesley comments on this verse, and I quote him, "A sanctified heart, in which the almighty grace of God is victorious, and turns it from all sin to God. A new spirit, a new holy frame in the spirit of man, which is given to him, not wrought by his own power. The stony, or the senseless, unfeeling. Out of your flesh, out of you, a flesh. It's molded into a compliance with his whole will, to forbear, do, be, or allow what God will. Receiving the impress of God, as soft wax receives the impress of the seal."
Well, Brooksie and I have been talking quite a bit the last several days about these great revivals in D.L. Moody's day. And of course, we could go back to other historic revivals as well, such as those in Wesley's time, or Whitfield, or who was the great Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God?
Jonathan Edwards'
time. Well, these revivals turned people's hearts toward God and brought healing upon the land. We need a great revival in our land today to turn stone hearts to hearts of tender compassion, sin-filled lives to lives redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Charles H. Spurgeon, a great scholar, professor, and college president in London, addressed the students at Agricultural Hall following one of Moody's meetings, and this is what he implored them with. If you have professed to have found Christ, don't make a sham of it. If your salvation is worth anything, it should be a salvation from sin. Salvation from hell is not the salvation you ought to cry after, but salvation from sin. That will bring salvation from hell. A thief might want to get salvation from going to prison, but the only salvation for him that is worthy of anything is salvation from thieving.
Well, thousands will trust Jesus Christ today for salvation through the witness of godly people burdened for the lost all around the world, just as D.L. Moody was in his time. Have you trusted Christ for salvation and a new heart? If so, thank God for what he did in your life when he gave you this new heart. But if you haven't made that commitment, you can do so right now by earnestly calling out to the Lord, acknowledging your sin, accepting his forgiveness. If you're a believer, pray for a passionate heart to witness to the lost that are dying without hope. We close with the words of great Fanny Crosby hymn came to mind even at this moment as I conclude. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying.
Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we consider the sentiment of the hymn writer who asked, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord? Father, though you love us so much that you sent your only Son to die on the cross for our sins, we put up a struggle with you instead of surrendering to you. But when we finally do surrender, we find you to be a mighty refuge from the storms of life and a Savior who redeems us from the sins that held us in Satan's captivity. Even as we have received your mercy and forgiveness from sins, we want to see others released from the devil's stronghold as well. Enable us to be faithful witnesses to the lost. Give us a passion for souls so that your kingdom will be enlarged and Satan's domain will decrease. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brooksine. And a little bit different type of message today, and admittedly a bit longer than usual. This has been a book especially heavy upon Brooksine's heart. She continues to read it. It's interesting. It was published in 1900, and I mean, I think it must be one of the original times at that time, so it's 109 years old. It's falling apart. It was very kind of this lady to let Brooksine borrow the book. Actually, we have taken a photo of a portion of the book today, and it will be on the site. Of course, we post these daily in written form to dailyencouragement.net. Many of you have received this through an email post as well. This is the message for Thursday, June 11th, 2009, dailyencouragement.net. We do have some recommended songs today. In fact, I'm going to look for one that I haven't even pasted in yet, but prompted in the message itself, the great Fanny Crosby song, Rescue the Perishing. There are several that I've already found that relate to the story. Some information about Ira Sankey, whom Brooksine referred to. Well, God bless you today. Continue to let your light shine for Jesus Christ.